Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Guys, it's time for the Hollywood Life podcast, and I am here with my co-star, and co-anchor, Allie Stagnita today. Hi, Allie.
Hi, guys. I'm so excited to be here, and I'm so excited for our guest today because he's an old family friend of mine who I used to truly call when I was like 5 years old and was so excited to talk to. My first celebrity interview, I guess I would say.
Well, we have to hear more about that.
Yes.
But we better not keep our listeners waiting so that they can find out who this infamous person is. So yeah. Everybody, let's welcome Tom Felicia. Hi, Tom.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Hey, Allie. I can't believe this is so hilarious. I love it.
It's
so funny.
Too.
Oh, my God. It's true. We actually, Allie's grandparents are my parents' best friends, and I've known her grandparents pretty much my whole, like, as far as I can remember, and they're amazing, and her grandmother is doing really well, battling cancer, and I think she's in remission, and she's doing really well, and it's really exciting, and we were just talking about it yesterday when we were having lunch overlooking Skinny Atlas Lake at the country club. It was really fun, and I just got back to New York now, to my city. I was up at the lake for the weekend, and just back to the city, and I'm back now for my niece's high school graduation, and also to go to work. I have to go to the office after this.
Yes.
That is so cool that you guys know each other in such a personal way. And that Allie, that you've known Tom since you were five.
Yeah.
It was
hilarious. Well, I remember when you were like, so it was like right in the heyday of Queer Eye. And she was really young. I mean, she was a little peanut. And and she was really excited to like talk to me and ask me questions. And it was really funny. I remember.
It's
so funny. I can't believe that you're old enough. I can't believe the fact that you're old enough to interview me as an adult means that I'm old AF.
No, not at all. And I mean, I bet, Allie, that you watched every episode of Queer Eye.
I did. And I am so excited that there is a reunion happening.
Yes.
This Thursday on E! Another.
Yep. 9:00 Eastern. Road trip reunion. And it was hilarious because it was kind of instigated by Jay's birthday.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. It's isn't it his big 4-0?
Well, so the interesting thing is here I am like talking to Allie, who was like three when we were on television, which is hilarious. But Jay, we used to joke with Jay about being sort of our little brother because he was about pretty much 10 years younger than us and all of us. And so, you know, I definitely treated him like a little brother and like duct taped him to every chair and like, you know, just like total like brother, you know, shenanigans. And so, you know, we always sort of joked about him being our little brother and definitely treated him that way. So now that he was turning 40 and we all felt like it was our obligation and we also wanted to do it, but we felt responsible as older brothers to go and sort of make sure that he had a proper big 4-0 sort of celebration from his, you know, his Queer Eye brothers. And also I wanted to haze him a little bit because that's always one of my favorite things to do to him. And also it was a fun way to sort of, it's always great for us to reconnect, you know, and we usually do. Like, I just got a text yesterday from Kyan, who was at an art gallery opening and bumped into my aunt, Gloria. And so he had a photograph with my mom's sister, and it was really, it's really great photo. And So, you know, there's all these like little reunions that we have, like we get together, like when we're, one of us is in New York or whatever. I live in New York, Carson lives in New York. So we see each other a lot. But Kyan's in Florida and Jay is in LA and Ted is in Brooklyn. And we see Ted as we see Ted from time to time as well. So it's like really nice that we're able to do that. But you know, we're, it's very rare that we're more than two or three of us together at a time. So it was really fun for us all to be back together. And Ted wasn't able to fly, or you know, chose not to fly at the time. So he did it remotely, which was hilarious and fun. And I kind of helped him out because he had a lot to do, as I did, as we always did, by the way, in the old days. Like I always had like, you know, like to like, you know, so I kind of redid the sort of the environment, the outdoor environment to kind of get it ready for the event, which is hilarious. And then I also was kind of helping Ted out with his vision of what he wanted to do. And of course, Carson kind of got him ready. And wow, we saw some things that Jay's been wearing and it was, I would say, alarming.
Yes, we heard, we thought that there was some makeover involved.
Yeah. I know. It sounds kind of tragic that we had to make over one of our own, but I wouldn't say it was intervention, but I think it was a good idea.
I was going to say, did he just like let himself go? What happened?
No, no, actually, oh my God, he's in perfect physical shape. No, no, he's like, he works out every day. I mean, he looks great, but, and I think, you know, it was a little bit of him playing it up, of course, but
yeah,
but, you know, he was trying to scare Carson with like the craziest clothes I've ever seen in my life. And I was like, I hope that you went out and bought these at a costume store, but to scare Carson. But yeah, I think he was just totally, you know, playing with Carson, but it was fun. It was great. And, you know, he is turning the big 4-0. And so we thought it would be, you know, it would be fitting for us to, you know, sort of surprise him with a little bit of a sort of a surprise party, you know.
And yeah, what
was one of the most alarming things he was wearing since you brought that up?
A lot of mesh items. I don't know. That was never part of my staple in my wardrobe. Even when Carson was our stylist in the early days of Queer Eye, before we had that scenario fixed. Because when Carson was dressing up the first 2 years of Queer Eye, I used to call it fashion sabotage because I thought he was trying to make, I was like begging him to please not have to wear certain things. And he would tell me that I was too conservative. I mean, he would say it jokingly, but I think, I mean, I am not the most fashion forward person. I don't know if you could tell by this really sort of outrageous look that I have going today. But yeah, so it was hilarious. And, but Jay had there was a lot of see-through mesh items. And I think they were hopefully to scare Carson more than anything, but Carson was just trying to give him a few pointers to sort of bring him into the next sort of chapter, as it were, of his life.
How was it, everyone being back together again? You know, like even just like first step on set and just like coming together as you know, the original.
Well, I have to say a couple of things. One is being together on set for us is always probably the most hilarious and yet the most terrifying thing because we all are mic'd and we're all saying the most outlandish things. So, you know, the bloopers from that, which I think some of them are actually on my Instagram. So you can go to my Tom Felicia.
I saw them on your Instagram. They're pretty
funny. You can go to the Tom Felicia Instagram and you can see some of the bloopers. They are hilarious, but those are not all of them. You know, so it's kind of crazy that there's probably more that will surface and hopefully they're selective with them because I mean, when we get together, we're usually a little outrageous. So it's fun, but it's also scary because we're all mic'd. But it's also really great because we all go back to like literally being sort of, I guess, anywhere from mid-20s to mid-30s in our age, behaving that way. Which for me hasn't really, it's not a huge stretch.
What do you think? Like there's been so much magic about this show, Queer Eye. Like what do you think that magic is? Like why do you think that it became such a hit and so many people related to it?
I would say that what really was great about Queer Eye back in the day was that, you know, it was first of all, we had no idea what the potential was for it to be as a show. We thought we were making a fun, cute little show for a network that nobody really knew much about. And we thought that would be a really fun experience, and we wanted to have fun doing it, and that was it. So I think it really exceeded all of our expectations of what a little TV show like that could become. And also there was kind of this perfect storm of what was going on in the world at that point. You know, there was things in media were changing in terms of, you know, people playing gay characters or actually gay people on television being recognized as gay people. And I think we were probably the first to do that. And also gay marriage was happening, and there were just a lot of things. It was just kind of a perfect storm. But I think what really made the magic for us was that we were, we were very natural. It was very, you know, it was just, you know, five of us representing, you know, ourselves and who we were. We were different enough, but similar enough to kind of have this great energy. We were, you know, having fun with this straight guy. And there was this kind of bond where we were working together. And I think that that was revolutionary and a new thing for people to see. So that relationship and that dynamic made it really, you know, appealing to a vast, you know, amount of people and a diverse amount of people. So it was really, really, really incredible. And I think our audience were mothers and fathers and kids, boys, girls, you know, grandparents, aunts and uncles, and they were all coming together and they were watching the show and they were loving it and laughing and having fun. And some were seeing it through the eyes of the straight guys. Some were seeing it through the eyes of the gay guys. Some were identifying with Jay. Some were identifying with me or Carson or Kyan or Ted. And so it gave everybody this kind of interesting journey, and it showed them that, you know, I think the overall arching kind of thing that was magic about it was kind of the first message of like different, it can be good. You know, like difference something being different is not necessarily bad. And I think that's what we really kind of brought sort of to the forefront. And not only can it be good, but it can also be instrumental and helpful. And also like bringing difference together and working as a team is something that is really important. And I think today it's still a great message, you know, bringing different ideas together, socially, politically, environmentally, all of these things, and coming up with ways to move forward as a team, as opposed to as sort of, you know, separately. So I think it still has a very strong message, maybe even more important today than back then for different reasons, you know, but I think that was kind of the magic of it. And also I think we were just having so much fun that it was contagious, and we had a really great sort of mix, you know, which I think we all complimented each other. We were different enough, but we were similar enough, and we were having fun. And I think people enjoyed that enthusiasm.
Do you recall before the show went on air, because there hadn't been really much like,
yes,
you hesitant or nervous, and even just nervous to put your life out there for the public to kind of see?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, it was definitely a conversation that was happening. You know, we were in the beginning, we were shooting for 3 or 4 months before it was, you know, before we even saw a cut. And then we saw the cut and we were like, this is really fun. And then the network said they liked it. And then it was tested and people were like, we really like it. And then, I mean, my father, who's here, was at the premiere with my brother and my sister-in-law. And, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, you were not, you know, I was out to my family, but I wasn't really out to the world. I mean, I think I was, I thought I was. I was certainly not trying to hold it back, but it was a different moment. And it was one of those times where you were like, okay, well, this is definitely like, you know, this is a statement, let's say. You're making a statement. And I thought, you know what? I said, we kind of talked about it, and I thought, why not? Like, what, I mean, it's not like something that I'm not, although it was a big step, I felt like I was comfortable with it. And I talked to my family about it and said, how do you feel about it? And everyone was supportive and said, you know what, you know, you do you, and you know, and if you think this is a good thing, do it. Like, have fun with it. And so, and I think that that's, you know, I think that's, you know, that's commonplace, more commonplace, like more typical than it used to be, and hopefully continuing to become more and more and more and more. But yeah, it was a little scary. I was worried about my career. I was worried, like, how will this affect my career if this is, you know, if people don't understand this or take it the right way. So it was, yeah, it was definitely a very, you know, it was a little bit of a risk, but for me, taking a risk is.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You know, if there's no risk, there's generally very little glory.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you know, I think you said something really interesting, that it was, in some ways, you know, it was so groundbreaking, and it was, I mean, you're talking like 15 years ago. It was a different time. It was before gay marriage was legal, but now, yes, it's legal and there's so much more acceptance. But on the other hand, we're seeing so much pushback right now, like anti-trans laws and pushback to gay couples being able to adopt children.
Right.
Do you feel like we genuinely have made progress?
Yes. Hold on one sec. Sorry. Okay. Sorry about that. I do think that there's a lot of progress that still needs to happen. Mm-hmm. And I think what happened, what got us to this point, you know, I think has been incredible. And I think as more progress happens, I think that sorry, hold on one second.
What's going on there?
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, one of my dogs is going crazy. I apologize.
I have a feeling it had to do with a dog.
Yes, I have one. My one dog is like fighting with another dog over a toy, and then I have my father's trying to sort it out with the two of them. So I'm like, oh my God, what's going on over there?
It's like you need another intervention.
Yes, I do. I would say, you know, I think there's a lot of progress made. There's a lot of progress that still needs to be made, and I think some people are very excited about the progress, and I'm sure some people are, you know, concerned about it for a variety of reasons. And, you know, I hopefully everyone will work together, like we were talking about, and start to understand how a lot of what's happening is, I think, really good. I think the progress is great. And I think that supporting the progress is important. And also keeping that dialogue going and communicating with people that maybe don't understand it or maybe are not, you know, in an alignment, and having that conversation just starts to really help things move forward. And I think that's what we did really well back in the day, was that we started the conversation. You know, it's very easy for people to have different points of view and stay isolated. And those points of view get stronger and stronger and stronger when you're kind of talking amongst yourself with people that sort of think the same way. But when you sit at a table, a round table, and you have a group of people that have different opinions, but are willing to communicate and willing to sort of listen to each other, I think that's when progress happens. You know, that's whether you're talking about business, social, family, environmental, whatever we're talking about, that's the process. And so my hope is that, you know, I think it's important for different points of view to come together. And I think it's important for people to be tolerant of different points of view and be willing to hear hear the other side and, you know, kind of, you know, connect. And, you know, to agree to disagree is a totally legitimate thing. And I think sometimes, you know, different opinions help us keep each other in check. And I think that, you know, that's great, even in a relationship, in a marriage, in a friendship, in a business relationship, you know, and sometimes you think what you're thinking is correct. And then someone kind of walks you through a few different options and you realize maybe that wasn't the best idea or what that wasn't the way to think about it. So I, you know, my hope is that I think wherever we go in the world, whatever new challenge that we're presented with, there's always going to be opposition. There's always going to be people that have different points of view, but we have to, you know, we have to learn how to, like, you know, it's like, that's why they say when you're in kindergarten, they say play as well with others. That's part of your grade, you know? And so, and it doesn't mean that you play well with others that may not be your best friends or that you may not even agree with, you know, on the jungle gym or on the swing set, but you learn how to, you know, you learn how to sort of cohabitate and, you know, and work together and make it work. So I think that that's really how I see where we are right now. And once we get through this set of, you know, sort of hurdles and things, I think there'll be new ones ahead of us. And I think that that's what my takeaway has been in terms of business, television life, you know, being a part of all of these different, you know, all of these different sort of things. So it's, yeah, that's my advice.
have you watched the new Queer Eye? Because just a lot of things that you said as well, like, kind of reminded me a little bit of how they will go to these, like, kind of rural places where they truly do not, you know, agree with,
right,
you know, the LGBT.
Right. Sort of that point of view. Well, so our job back in the day was to sort of basically open up the dialogue. And we were going from city to city, right, you know, kind of, you know, New York City, and we were in Dallas, we were in Los Angeles, we were in, you know, we were in London, we were, you know, we were hitting cities, and we were generally going, you know, in and around cities. And because that was still a conversation that needed to happen, mm-hmm, sort of at that level.
Yeah.
I think urban areas are, I think there's there's more of that overlap today. It's just sort of part of sort of urban, for where the urban lifestyle has come to, even suburban at that point, at this point. But I think they're going to places that are a little bit more sort of off the beaten path, and they're having the same conversation in a new way, in a way that's relevant with the way that, of the things and the issues today. I don't think it's as much about hair gel and things like that. You know, I think men have discovered grooming products, you know, so the conversation is a little different. And I think it's a little bit deeper, actually, because the issues that are out there, I think people are talking not only more, but they're going more in depth, you know? So I think that's an interesting change and a new part of what they're doing. And I think that, you know, we're all a part of, it all sort of works hand in hand. And I think what they're doing is great. And I think that, you know, it definitely, you know, that has a new spin on the same concept, you know, and it's just sort of making it relevant to sort of what's, you know, what's happening today.
Mm-hmm. You've just come back from North Carolina. You were there for a very famous furniture and home furnishing show called High Point.
Yes.
First of all, I guess it wasn't held last year. This is like...
So High Point, just for people that don't know what it is, it's kind of the largest furniture market in the US. It happens twice a year. I have a few different companies. One of my companies is Tom Felicia Incorporated, which is an interior design firm. We do both commercial and residential. We work all over the US and outside of the US. I was actually just in Florida for a project that I just got back after High Point. I went there for a couple of days to check on, we're doing a couple of projects in Florida right now. And I was now tomorrow going to a project in Connecticut. I was just this weekend up at a project in upstate New York. I'm going to a project in Montana that we're finishing right now. So, and, you know, in New York City, and we work, you know, all over, and we do residential and commercial. That's Tom Felicia Incorporated. Then I have Tom Felicia Home Collection, which we do furniture, case goods, rugs, which we just launched at High Point, textiles, bedding, wall coverings, curtain hardware. We're starting lighting. So we have all different categories within our license programs. And then I have a showroom company called Sedgwick and Brattle, which is named after the street I grew up, the corner I grew up on. And I have a showroom in New York City, and I have one in High Point, and we're looking to sort of move these showrooms around the country. And then of course I have a media company where I do things on television or books or a variety of different things like that. And so, you know, so that's, yeah. So the High Point thing happens twice a year, and I'm, you know, always getting, we just finished it. We installed it. We showed it for a week. And I have a team that works just on product and the showrooms and all of that stuff. And I work very closely with them. And I also work very closely with all my designers and project managers on all of our various projects we're working on. So, yeah, so that's kind of what, that's kind of how I've been, you know, keeping myself out of trouble.
You've been busy.
Very busy.
Spreading your designs and making people's places look fabulous.
Well, yeah, thank you. Yeah, so that's, yeah, I've been, you know, I studied design in college and I have a degree in interior design, and I worked for big firms in New York, well-known designers in New York. And then I opened my own company about 25 years ago. And so I had my company all during Queer Eye and, you know, ever since. So I've been, you know, kind of doing both for a long time. So it's been quite a journey to be able to do television and do, you know, private design projects, you know, for private clients and commercial projects and hotels and things, and then also be able to do product and kind of do it all. So I've really had to, as you know, you guys have dealt with Laura to kind of set all this up. She's amazing. And, yeah, you know, there's a whole group that I work with. There's about 18 to 20 of us that kind of help me make all of this happen. And I work very closely on every project. So it's, you know, it's one of those things that I'm, yeah.
Are you finding that because of COVID and people having to be in their homes, you know, way more than ever, that design, like even for people who weren't thinking about it so much, has become even more important?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, look, you know, during COVID, I think, you know, we've all discovered that our homes, whether it's an apartment or a house, wherever you're living, you know, I think our homes have become not only our sanctuary and our safety zone, you know, where everyone kind of, you know, we all had to sort of create that sort of bubble. And it was not only our safety zone, but it's where we worked, it's where we played, it's where we were teaching, learning, doing business. It's where it was our gym, it was our escape, it was all of those things. So I think people really have, you know, I think, you know, in a time where the world, everything was about going out and having all of these amazing experiences, you know, for really more than a year now, it's been about really being at home and sort of, you know, being with that sort of that tighter group and that bubble and, you know, and sort of being safe and doing what you need to do to keep moving forward. So I think the home really became, it represented so much more. And I think people looked around and thought, hey, you know, I want this to be the best it can be, because if it's going to be the thing that is sort of my home, quite literally my home base,
yes,
they want that to be, you know, they want that to be what they want it to be. And I get that. And I think that, so it's really put a new emphasis on home. And, you know, I think it's also design. I mean, I think, you know, whether it's hotel brands or restaurants or bars or entertainment venues, you know, all of these things are now looking at how to keep people safe, how to keep people wanting to come out and participate, but also making sure that they feel like there's a level of safety, there's a level of, you know, you want to make people feel good, even at a time when a lot of people are vaccinated. I think there's still this kind of, we're all thinking about, you know, travel, you know, you think about how close you're sitting next to somebody. You think about, you know, was this packaged? Where is this coming from? So we're all thinking about those things. And I think we will for some time now, but
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
And because of that, I think, you know, design is going to be a big part of making people feel safe and good, whether it's in a restaurant, a hotel, or in their home. So I think, yeah, so design has really become part of the solution.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, it has been so great to catch up with you and
thank you
everything that you're doing. And I think everybody is going to look forward to going down memory lane.
Yes.
Union road trip with the Queer Eye guys.
Yeah.
And that is going to be June 17th at 9 p.m. on E. And so we will all have
on E. Yes. At 9 o'clock Eastern. And yeah, yeah, yeah. If you want to see the blue, if you want to see the bloopers, you can go to Tom Filicia Instagram, TomFilicia. And I think you can, yeah, they're on there. I'll make sure that they maybe Laura repost those so that we can, they're really funny actually.
They are funny.
And I think they're quite edited. So there's probably more to come.
Amazing.
Well, and we'll have to let you and Allie and all your family all catch
yeah.
up.
Yeah. Yes, I would love that. That's great. And by the way, my two dogs, I don't know if you can hear them, are like trying to escape out of a bedroom and my dad's trying to keep them over there. And I was like, ah, he was about to let them out. I was like, no, no, no.
So we would have seen
they will ruin everything.
Amazing. Also, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you leave us a little review, 5 stars on our podcast, because we love to give you all of your favorite guests, like Mr. Filicia here.
Love it. Allie, we have to go out for drinks. I'm really excited about
right
that.
Now. I'm chatting you my number in here.
Okay, good. Yes, and I'll send yours back. I'll send mine back immediately. All right. Bye, girls. Thanks so much.
Bye.
And I hope you enjoy the show. Let me know what you think.
Okay. I know you'll enjoy it. Okay.
All right.
Take care, Tom. Bye.
Bye, guys. Big kiss.
Bye, Allie.
Bye.